We present Bright Day by J.B. Priestley, dramatized in 6 episodes by Eric Pringle. Episode 2. The year is 1945. Successful screenwriter Gregory Dawson is trying to finish a film script for the actress Elizabeth Earle. As the hotel trio plays a selection of music that reminds him of his youth in the northern town of Brudersford in 1912, he finds himself remembering also the Allington family, and in particular, their daughters, Joan, Eva, and Bridget.
Where are we?
God knows, Liz. Somewhere in Cornwall?
It doesn't matter anyway. I want to hear about that family. I'm intrigued. What happened next? You were going to meet them at last, weren't you, at that concert?
Yes, I arrived early to grab a place with a view of the West Gallery. They were all there, Mr. and Mrs. Allington. The girls, Joan very serious, Bridget bouncing, Eva smiling. The son was there too, and the big black-haired chap I didn't like, and another man I'd seen at the Playgoers Society, who was always cool and amused. Joan saw me and smiled and waved. She spoke to her father. He smiled and waved. And some of the others looked, and suddenly I felt enchanted, under a spell. In the interval, I met the men smoking in the corridor.
Hello, Gregory. You enjoying yourself?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Allington. Rather.
This is my son, Oliver, just home from Cambridge. Oliver, meet Gregory Dawson, who works with me.
Hello. I say, that was all right. But what I'm waiting for now, Souls, is the bronze. Tum, 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 ta-ta, ta, tum, ta-ta, ta. Oh, that's the stuff. Oh, slum, pumpeter.
Oh, don't mind him. This is Jock Barniston.
I've seen you at the Playgoers Society.
And I've seen you.
You live in our part of the world, don't you, Gregory? Come and have coffee and cake with us afterwards. The orchestra's in. Well, then we'd better get into it.
I'll meet you at the tram.
I'll look out for you. Shrub Pumpeter! I'm over here.
Oh, Gregory. Let me introduce you to the others. Joan, you've met. This is my wife.
Hello, Mrs. Allington.
Good evening, Gregory.
This is Eva.
Hello.
Nice to meet you, Gregory.
And that excited green-eyed thing is Bridget. The other two girls are musical friends of hers. Oh, Bridget, come on, meet Gregory.
Oh, hello. I say, it's jolly cold out, isn't it?
Well, it's nearly Christmas.
So it is. I'm glad you told me. Oh, here's the tram. Let me off first.
No. Bridget hasn't grown up yet, Gregory.
Stop, Bridget!
Neither does Oliver.
Nor have I, really. Oh, Joan.
Come and sit by me, Gregory.
Oh, thanks.
Jock, pleasure. Tell me about yourself.
Jock Barniston must have known how shy and excited I was feeling. For although he was about 40, he talked to me, man to man, put me at my ease. He was the strong man you would turn to in trouble. He seemed indestructible. But in August 1914, Jock Barniston joined a local territorial battalion, insisted on staying a corporal, was killed on the Somme in 1916.
Is this your first visit to the Allingtons?
Yes. I don't really know them. I work with Mr. Allington and have met John once, that's all.
Well, don't be nervous. They wouldn't have asked you if they hadn't wanted you. Let me tell you about them. Bridget is studying the violin and she's good. Ben Kerry's a journalist on the Brudersford Evening Express and is half engaged to Eva Allington. Mrs. Allington is shy, which makes her seem cold, but she isn't really.
Gregory.
Thank you, Mrs. Allington.
Yeah, come through to the living room. This may seem chaos to you, but we'll like it all the time.
You have a grand piano.
Oh, yes. We'll have some real music later. Find yourself a perch or ball, wander about. Make yourself at home. David, take this young man's coat, will you?
Lively enough for you, Gregory?
It's wonderful, Jock. I feel like I belong here.
This family can have that effect on you.
Hello, I'm David. I'm 14. Do you want to give me your coat?
Thanks. You weren't at the concert?
I don't like those concerts. Too much row, so I'm reading about astronomy. What do you do?
I work for your father at Halls and Company.
He thinks I ought to go into that business because Oliver won't have anything to do with it. But I'm not like that either. I don't want to buy things and then sell them. That's a silly way of spending your time. Dad thinks so too underneath.
Here's your coffee, Gregory. Oh. Eva has the sugar. Eva, sugar here, please.
Here you are.
Oh, thanks.
Do you play? Or sing?
No, not really. Do you?
I sing a little, but I'm not very good. Am I, Bridget?
No, you're not. So, you're Gregory Dawson.
Yes. I say, your eyes really are green.
Why do you keep telling me things I know already? It's a waste of time. You write things, don't you? Do you read them to people?
No, I don't. At least I haven't done so far.
Oh, a jolly good job, too. Let's have some more cake. Who's got the cake?
Here it is!
The cake's the best thing around here, Gregory.
The rich damp cake.
Look out, you idiot. You're spilling ash from that ridiculous pipe. Oh, what about those songs? Oh,
yes. Songs? I knew there was something. The songs.
Dodderai.
Mumbody. Songs.
I don't understand that.
Here's Joan. She'll explain. I must talk to Beth.
Oliver and Bridget have a special language of their own, Gregory. Sometimes I use it myself.
You're not supposed to.
Don't be disgusting. You're blowing crumbs.
Oh, I'm going.
We're not really mad, you know, Gregory.
I didn't think you were.
You came along with Jock Parniston, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I like him.
I do too. Everybody does.
Hello, you too. Had some letters to write. Speaking of writing, Gregory, have you read any of Ben Carey's things? Had some in the Yorkshire Post lately. He's a clever chap, Ben. Doubt if he'll be here much longer. So, we must make the most of him.
I think we can leave that to Eva.
Oh. Now then, pussy.
I wasn't being catty, Dad. I just think that...
Look who's here. Fred, what's been happening?
We gave them hell tonight, John. Absolute hell.
Who's that?
Councillor and Mrs. Knott. He's a socialist.
Is he?
What about the bit of music?
I have it here. Some songs.
Songs! Supposing we don't want to hear them.
You said you did, all of you.
Of course we do, darling.
Two or three have trio accompaniments, and I've got all the parts, so come on, girlies.
Well, let's all sit down and shut up then. Come and sit by me, lad. Working... for John Arlington at Hoare's, aren't you?
Yes, Mr. Councillor.
Well, John's all right. I wouldn't call him a fighter like me, but he's a grand chap. Knows how to enjoy life the right way. And that's all we ask, just for a chance for working folk to enjoy life the right way.
Oh, I see.
Every ruling class has ever been asked for 100 times as much for doing a damn sight less. Socialism's coming, lad.
Is it?
There's no stopping it, though some Tories would go to any length to try.
As Bridget and her friends played and Oliver and Eva sang, their music carried me to strange, magical places. I saw across the room the grey, pale face of Joan, a smile signals from a hidden land. I saw Bridget, her eyes veiled above a violin and her features sculpted by the light into a stern beauty. And singing beyond the piano, full in the light, was Eva, the golden princess of the enchanted trams. Seeing them mistily through the music, I fell in love with all three at once. It seemed the most wonderful thing that could happen. That I should simply be here with them. There could be no better life anywhere. I need never leave Brothersford or Hawes and Company to have everything I wanted. And this evening should go on forever.
Those girls.
I was 1912, Liz. 33 years ago.
Then why is remembering so important to you?
Don't you think I've been wondering that? It is important.
I think that daft conviction that I had only to do what Allington had done and life would be wonderful went down so deep it will disturb me forever. Maybe it explains why I've never settled. Why I've always refused safe, regular jobs. Why no place and position ever seen my place and position. Why I'm in that ridiculous bedroom with two old suitcases and a typewriter and nothing else. And nobody else.
Oh, darling.
I'm so restless, Liz. I've always thought the First World War was responsible, but now... Well, I've begun thinking that maybe the cause was earlier, buried somewhere in the Allington business. So I've been exploring it all over again, and it's become as important to me as finishing The Lady Hits Back.
What have you found out?
I'm not sure. The day you were due...
When you didn't want to see me?
I just didn't want to talk to anybody until I'd remembered exactly what happened when the Nixies came to Brothersford. So after a long morning on the script, I went along the cliff, lit a pipe, and became again a gawky youth in the sleet and dark of a West Riding town in December 1912, having a row at the office.
Dawson!
Mr. Croxton!
Our German agent wants some crossbred samples made up and sent off tonight.
But it's late. I was clearing up.
Don't sulk. Come on, stir yourself.
But Mr. Ackworth told me...
I don't want to know! He's not here, and I am. Now, get those crossbreds done and hurry up.
All right. Interfering old busybody.
What are you muttering about?
Mr. Ackworth said no samples are to go out without his orders.
Don't be a blockhead. He's gone home, hasn't he? Since Mr. Allington's in London, I'll have to see to it. Now, come on, Dawson. Don't just stand up there like a monkey on a stick.
All right. Oh, look out.
Oh, good grief.
Are you all right?
You young swine.
I'm sorry. It was an accident. Hey!
I'll pay you.
Stop shaking the ladder, bloody hell.
Oh. You threw that parcel on purpose.
I didn't. Now get off me, Mr. Croxton. Get off.
All right, Dawson. That's quite enough. Go home. I'll talk to Mr. Allington about you in the morning.
Well, why don't you do that? You wanted to see me, Mr. Allington?
Shut the door. Mr. Croxton's just made a very serious complaint about you, Gregory.
Where's Mr. Ackworth?
Oh, he's taking the day off. Don't change the subject. Mr. Croxton says when he asked you to work late last night, you were sulky. Then you lost your temper and you threw some wool at him.
It wasn't like that. He doesn't like
me. Look, stop shouting nonsense. If you've got anything to say, say it properly. Well?
Mr. Ackworth told me no samples were to go out unless he or you saw them first. He said I had to take orders from Mr. Croxton.
Did you tell Mr. Croxton that?
He never gave me a chance. I was only trying to tell him what Mr. Ackworth said, and you said I had to work under Mr. Ackworth.
Not if he's at home with a cold. Somebody has to run this office. The next time Mr. Croxton is in charge, do as he tells you.
Yes, Mr. Allington.
I can quite understand him resenting that surly, argumentative manner of yours. I don't like it myself. Try to improve it.
Yes, Mr. Allington.
What the hell's this in my sample book? Come here, lad.
Yes, Mr. Ackworth?
There's a list of crossbreds gone to Germany as long as me arm. Bit of Croxton's doing, I can tell that by his writing.
Yeah, well...
What's use of talking to you? Didn't I tell you that if I'm not here, it's your job to see there's no damned hanky-panky? You ought to have your backside kicked. Have half a mind to do it myself.
I've had enough of this. I get into a row with Croxton because I tried to tell him what you said. Then I get into a row with Mr. Allington, who said I ought to do what Croxton tells me. And now you start. It isn't my fault you can't decide who's running this place.
Now look here, lad. Any more cheek and bloody impudence from you, and I'll whack your...
I've had enough of this. I'm off. It isn't my fault.
No, it's mine.
Hey?
Mr. Allington.
What were you going to do, Gregory?
I was going home.
Do you want to leave us?
No, I don't, but...
Shut up, lad. Put that brat back on and... Just get on with a bit of work.
Just a minute, though. I'm sorry. You're really not at fault.
No. No, he's not. But I'd just as soon he hadn't so much to say for himself.
We'll try to organise things so that you know where you are in future. Now make up your list at the other end, will you?
Yes, Mr. Rowington.
So?
They leaned over the counter and talked quietly. I caught only a few words, but it seemed Mr. Allington had come back from London worried because old somebody was retiring and his shares were being taken over by a man called Buckner. Ackler said he had reason to worry. And Mr. Allington mentioned Buckner's nephew.
Nixie, I met him. He seemed pleasant.
That was the first time I heard Nixie's name. It didn't interest me then. What was important was that Mr. Allington had put everything right between us. But I felt self-conscious about him now. It was nearly Christmas, and I'd been counting on wonderful visits to the Allingtons. In those days, before 1914, they celebrated Christmas in Rudersford in a huge, rich style. It arrived late, on the 24th of December, but once it came, it really was Christmas. Brass bands played, choirs sang in the streets, the air was thick with cigar smoke, and cases of liquor arrived in the office. Joe Ackworth turned himself into an angry Santa Claus, Croxton paid us double money, Mr. Allington rushed about laden with parcels, and up in the warehouse, old Sam got roaring drunk.
It stands to bloody reason, Joe.
I can't be bothered arguing. Have a cigar.
Now look, Gregory, lad. Where I live is called Rose Bank. It's last house but one, on right as you go towards Wobbly Glen. I'm telling you, because we give a bit of a party on Boxing Day night. Now, don't come if you don't want to. Please your bloody self.
All the time I was hoping for an invitation from the Allingtons. But he didn't come. And I left for the holidays feeling I hadn't most to look forward to. I was wrong. That Christmas were better than alike. Christmas Eve was devoted to visiting my aunt and uncle's friends. Rum characters like Johnny Luckett and his wife who sang In Old Madrid and I Was Dreaming. And Tell Me, Pretty Maid. And Floridora. Those people lived in a world I've never found again since 1914. The haunting hadn't begun then. We could still have a merry Christmas. On Christmas Day, ancient relatives arrived for an enormous dinner and games of Newmarket.
Nay, Miles is just like his mother. Same nose and eyes. Takes me right back, it does.
But before the day was done, I longed for a young face and a pair of eyes that belonged to my generation. Then on Boxing Night, I put on my best suit, muffled myself up, took the tram to the Wobbly terminus and climbed through the snowflakes towards the edge of the glen. It was like looking for Mr. Ackworth and his party in the Antarctic.
Gregory, good lad. Glad to see thee. Come in, Chipwan.
Hello, Mr. Ackworth.
Here you go, lad.
Thanks. Merry Christmas.
To you and all. Now, you'll know one or two here. Introduce yourself to the rest. I can't be bothered. You better meet the wife, though, or there'll be ructions. Any luck? Later we'll have a bit of something better for an uploaded young fella like you. But now, get an over the ear and try that lot for size.
The Allington girls. All of them.
Aye.
Oh, Mr. Ackworth, this is a wonderful party.
Isn't it, though?
You look peculiar tonight, Gregory.
I think it's mulled old ale, Eva.
Anyhow, it's a peculiar party.
Are the others here?
No, only us. Won't we do?
I don't understand you, Gregory Dawson. And I've argued about you a bit. Which one of us is it you're so keen on knowing?
It's all three of you. Really it is. I mean, well,
go on, tell us.
I can't.
Yes, Teddy Sally, you'll bust from it. Don't spin around, Arthur. You don't know where she is now.
I love Mr. Ackworth.
Oh, he's all right. But I bet they'll be playing those filthy kissing games soon. Oh, gosh, it's hot.
It is, and I'm thirsty.
I'll get you some.
Oh, why, bless you, Gregory.
Chuck it, Joan.
Chuck what?
You know what?
But listen, everybody.
Now, what's going to happen?
It's time the young'uns had a chance, and when I say that, I include myself.
Here it comes.
filthy kissing games.
John?
Here, Gregory.
You chose me.
I did. Close the door. Oh. Come here. Kiss me, then.
Oh. All right.
Not like that. Like this.
God, Lord.
So, who's your choice?
I think Eva.
I knew it would be. You're all the same. Eva! Gregory.
Eva. Eva.
It's only a game, Gregory. You can kiss me again if you like.
I think you're all disgusting. And this is a disgusting party. I wouldn't play my fiddle here if I was begged to. Eating's the thing to do here, and I'm jolly well going to eat myself sick.
Yeah, aren't you Mr. Allington's daughter?
We are.
Hello, Mr. Leighton.
Oh, hello, Gregory. Your father told me one of you was studying the violin.
And that's me.
Well, later on we might have a go. Joe Ackworth's got a good piano, Steinway.
Can you play?
Aye, a bit. I'll be a mine. Good hat with you.
Mr. Ackworth specially asked me to bring my fiddle and some music. But I don't feel like playing.
Well, happen you will later.
And happen not. Who is he, Gregory?
His name's Herbert Leighton. I've seen him at the office. He does wool insurance.
Oh, he'll be awful. Don't be so jolly conceited, Bridget.
That lots of billiard room for a spell. You stay here, and I'll get Herbert Leighton to play for us.
Can that man really play?
Well then, young Bridget, that'll do from you. I suppose you think, because Herbert's a slammocky-looking sort of chap and earns his living in insurance, he amounts to nought. Well, that's where you're wrong, lass. Herbert Leighton could have earned his living by music. So take that grin off your face and let's see what you've brought, eh? None of this cafe music, mind.
All right, Mr. Ackworth.
Here he is. See the Herbert land. I want thee to show these clever bairns here just how to do it, because they think they know summat and they know nought, yeah? Here's a glass of whiskey to get this started.
Oh, thanks, Joe. Well, here's to me and me wife's husband. Now, what's it to be?
Please this, hen. Bitter bar could do me.
I mean all.
What?
I told you, didn't I, that the new note...
All right, I admit, we know note. Oh. He's wonderful. I couldn't possibly play now.
Hey, how do you mean, lad?
Not after you, I couldn't, Mr. Leighton.
Now, stop that. Where's your music?
It would sound frightful. Joan, Gregory, back me up.
What about the Sofa Frank?
Well, I might.
That'll do nicely.
Do you know it?
I've played it.
Well, did you play it that time at Gladstone Hall when Thingamabob's accompanist didn't turn up?
Who was Thingamabob?
Izai.
Izai? Izai? Golly. Oh, look, I'll never understand anything around here. Never. I'll have to go away and live somewhere else. You go to one place and meet one lot of people, all very nice and natty, and they don't know anything about anything. Hopeless. So you think, well, nobody knows anything about anything, and that's that. Then you go to another place and meet another lot of people and they jolly well look as if they don't know anything about anything. And then somebody like you turns up who plays Bach like an angel. Oh. You pretend to be in the insurance business or some silliness. And then you say you'll play the César Franck with me. And it turns out that you played it with Isaïe. Oh, and you're as bad, Mr. Ackworth, because I never knew you bothered about music at all.
Oh, I tell you, young Bridget, you know now. Yet.
Which is quite right. You never know what anybody's going to say or do next. They know all kinds of things that surprise you. I can't get used to it either.
Yeah, stop nattering, kids. Now, if you two are going to play, get on with it.
right you are, Joe, lad.
Yes, right.
On that Cornish cliff top, I could hear them still. Two world wars away. I could see Leighton's ungainly figure and Bridget's frowning little face above her violin. Her tumbling hair. I remembered how when the party was over, I walked down to the Allingtons with the three girls through the thickening snow and the blanket of the night. And afterwards, trudging and slipping home to Brig Terrace, aglow with the immense, vague dreams of youth. It wasn't my world in the snow and darkness, opening like a flower.
In episode 2 of Bright Day, David Hargreaves played the older Gregory Dawson, Peter Kenny, the younger Gregory, Francis Jeter, Elizabeth Earle, and Steve Hodson, Ackworth. Gareth Armstrong played Mr. Allington, Elaine Claxton, Joan, Tara Dominic, Eva, Teresa Gallagher, Bridget, Paul Panting, Oliver, Richard Pierce, David, and Tina Gray played Mrs. Allington. Malcolm Ward played Jock Barniston, Peter Whitman, Croxton, Dominic Letts, Ben Kerry, James Taylor, Councillor Knott, and Tom Bevan, Herbert Leighton. Music was played by Les Brown, Lawrence Rossi, and Tony Gamage. Bright Day is dramatised in 6 episodes by Eric Pringle from the novel by J.B. Priestley, and is directed by Adrian Bean.